Nama Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Desha Tarine. Thank you. So we'll begin by chanting the introductory mantras and translation on page 1. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayan Rupa Kadamayan Dharati Swaparantikam. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. When will Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who has established within this material world the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet? Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalan Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagarajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savarutan Parajana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devan Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master and unto the feet of all Vaishnavas. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami, along with his elder brother Sanatan Goswami, as well as Raghunath Das and Raghunath Bhatta, Gopala Bhatta and Srila Jiva Goswami. I offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, along with Advaita Acharya, Gadadhar, Srivas, and other associates. I offer my respectful obeisances to Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna, along with their associates, Sri Lalita and Vishakha. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dinabandhu Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radhakanta Namostute. Oh, my dear Krishna, you're the friend of the distressed and the source of creation. You're the master of the gopis and the lover of Radharani. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you.
Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye.
I offer my respects to Radharani, whose bodily complexion is like molten gold, and who is the queen of Vrindavan. You are the daughter of King Vrishabhanu, and you are very dear to Lord Krishna.
Pancha kalpa turubhyascha kripa sindubhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto all the Vaishnav devotees of the Lord. They can fulfill the desires of everyone, just like desire trees, and they are full of compassion for the fallen souls.
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktivrinda.
I offer my obeisances to Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita, Gadadhar, Srivas, and all others in the line of devotion.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We're reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, with translations and purports by His Divine Grace,
A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So tonight we're reading from Chapter 12, Devotional Service, Text 1. Arjuna Vacha Evam Satata Yuktaha Ye Bhaktaha Twam Vayupasate Ye Cha Api Aksharam Avyaktam Desham Ke Yogavittamaha Arjuna Vacha Evam Satata Yuktaye Bhaktas Twam Varyupasate Ichapyaksharam Avyaktam Desham Ke Yoga Vittamaha Arjuna Vacha Evam Satata Yuktaye Bhaktas Twam Varyupasate Yecha Bhaksharam Avyaktam Desham Ke Yoga Vittamaha Arjuna Vacha Evam Satata Yuktaye Bhaktas Twam Varyupasate Yechapyaksharam Avyaktam Desham Ke Yoga Vittamaha Would anyone like to chant the verse? And we'll respond. Carolyn, want to chant? Arjuna Vacha Evam Satata Yuktaye Bhaktas Twam Payupasate Yecha Pyaksharam Avyaktam Desham Ke Yoga Vittamaha. Did you want to chant to the ear? So we're on Chapter 12, Text 1. And we'll do the word for word, word meanings. Arjuna Vacha. Arjuna said, Evam, thus, Satata, always, Yuktaha, engaged, Ye, those who, Bhaktaha, devotees, Dvam, you, Paryupasate, properly worship. Ye, those who, cha, also, api, again, aksharam, beyond the senses, avyaktam, the unmanifested, desham, of them, Ke, who, Yogavittamaha, the most perfect in knowledge of yoga. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Arjuna inquired, which are considered to be more perfect Those who are always properly engaged in your devotional service, or those who worship the impersonal Brahman, the unmanifested. Please repeat. Arjuna inquired, which are considered to be more perfect? Those who are always properly engaged in your devotional service, or those who worship the impersonal Brahman, the unmanifested. Oh, this is fine. Yeah, thank you. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Krishna has now explained about the personal, the impersonal, and the universal, and has described all kinds of devotees and yogis. Generally, the transcendentalists can be divided into two classes. One is the impersonalist, and the other is the personalist. The personalist devotee engages himself with all energy in the service of the Supreme Lord. The impersonalist also engages himself, not directly in the service of Krishna, but in meditation on the impersonal Brahman, the unmanifested. We find in this chapter that of the different processes for realization of the absolute truth, bhakti yoga devotional service is the highest. If one at all desires to have the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he must take two devotional service. Those who worship the Supreme Lord directly by devotional service are called personalists. Those who engage themselves in meditation on the impersonal Brahman are called impersonalists. Arjuna is here questioning which position is better. There are different ways to realize the absolute truth. Krishna indicates in this chapter that bhakti yoga or devotional service to him is the highest of all. It is the most direct and it is the easiest means for association with the Godhead. In the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Lord explained that a living entity is not the material body. He is a spiritual spark, and the absolute truth is the spiritual whole. In the seventh chapter, he spoke of the living entity as being part and parcel of the supreme whole, and recommended that he transfer his attention fully to the whole. Then again in the eighth chapter, it was said that anyone who thinks of Krishna at the time of quitting his body is at once transferred to the spiritual sky, to the abode of Krishna. And at the end of the sixth chapter, the Lord clearly said that of all yogis, one who always thinks of Krishna within himself is considered the most perfect. So in practically every chapter, the conclusion has been that one should be attached to the personal form of Krishna, for that is the highest spiritual realization. Nevertheless, there are those who are not attached to the personal form of Krishna. They are so firmly detached that even in the preparation of commentaries to Bhagavad Gita, they want to distract other people from Krishna and transfer all devotion to the impersonal Brahmajyoti. They prefer to meditate on the impersonal form of the Absolute Truth, which is beyond the reach of the senses and is not manifest. And so factually there are two classes of transcendentalists. Now Arjuna is trying to settle the question of which process is easier and which of the classes is most perfect. In other words, he is clarifying his own position because he is attached to the personal form of Krishna. He is not attached to the impersonal Brahman. He wants to know whether his position is secure. The impersonal manifestation, either in this material world or in the spiritual world of the Supreme Lord, is a problem for meditation. Actually, one cannot perfectly conceive of the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth. Therefore, Arjuna wants to say, what is the use of such a waste of time? Arjuna experienced in the 11th chapter that to be attached to the personal form of Krishna is best because he could thus understand all other forms at the same time, and there was no disturbance to his love for Krishna. This important question asked of Krishna by Arjuna will clarify the distinction between the impersonal and personal conceptions of the Absolute Truth. Nama Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Arjuna is asking the question, which is more perfect? Is it better to engage in devotional service or worship the impersonal Brahman? Which is better? So he's asking Krishna this question. So Prabhupada's explaining in the purport that there's two kinds of yogis or yogis. There's the transcendentalists in two classes. We have impersonalists and personalists. Two kinds of transcendentalists. And the personalist, of course, is engaged in devotional service to the Supreme, to Krishna. And the impersonalist engages, but not directly to the service of Krishna. He's actually in meditation on the impersonal Brahman. So there's a difference there. And because these transcendentalists manifest themselves throughout time, Arjuna is curious, which is best? And in the chapter, we see that this chapter in particular, we're going to hear about bhakti yoga devotional service and how it's the highest. And already, as Prabhupada explained in the purport, in previous chapters, when you read the chapter, especially at the conclusion of the chapter, each chapter that he mentioned here, 6th chapter, 7th, 8th, the conclusion is that devotional service is the highest. This is the best, to serve Krishna with love. So, for example, if you went to the sixth chapter, the last text, then, as Prabhupada mentioned in the purport here, you're going to see that Krishna's explaining that there's a highest yogi, the highest type of yogi. In the sixth chapter, he talks about Dhyana Yoga, but in terms of who's the highest, this is what it says. And of all yogis, the one with great faith who always abides in me, thinks of me within himself, and renders transcendental loving service to me, he is the most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. That is my opinion. So, already we can see early on in the Gita, practically in every chapter, right, in every purport, it's confirmed that if you're serving Krishna, if you're engaged in devotional service, then that is the best. So here we get confirmation of this in the 12th chapter. We can see that the whole Gita is geared towards this middle section, where a devotional service is glorified and explained. And in this chapter, different processes for realization of Krishna are explained in the chapter. Bhakti Yoga is concluded to be the highest, right? And Prabhupada says, if one at all desires to have the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he must take to devotional service. So we can see that what we're doing is we're following Krishna's and Srila Prabhupada's and the whole Parampara's instructions on how to attain the highest. The goal of life, right? It's essential that we engage in devotional service, so sometimes we may be questioning whether we're doing the right thing, or we may not have so much enthusiasm, perhaps, for devotional service, but when you read what Krishna tells Arjuna, then you can get more enthusiasm and more conviction, because Krishna's concluding and throughout the Gita that devotional service, this is the highest. So if Krishna himself is taking the time to tell Arjuna and all of us that this is the direct highest process, then we should listen and hear what he has to say and take it as our life and soul, that we're doing the right thing by engaging in devotional service. And if we feel like we're not so convinced, we don't have that much conviction about what Krishna has to say, our mind may be doubting, we can remain in the association of devotees, and in that way you get increased faith. That's how faith comes, in association of devotees. So, in association, we study the Gita, and our faith and confidence will increase. And we'll at least we'll understand that we can defeat our mind if our mind is doubting anything about this process, or if it's doubting that it's worth being enthusiastic about, then we can get some conviction from what Krishna is telling Arjuna and from Prabhupada's purports. second chapter of the Gita, we're going back that far, and we're seeing that Krishna's explaining that a living entity is not the material body, right? So we get that basic understanding. And Prabhupada was explaining impersonalism and personalism in one room conversation. He was explaining that we are the spirit soul and we're personal. Our body is impersonal. Just like you could say that you're the person and your clothes are not you, but they're the covering. And the covering is impersonal, but you're the person and you're personal. So the covering of the spirit soul, the material body, is impersonal, and you, the soul, are personal. So the covering or effulgence of Krishna himself, is this Brahman effulgence, and this is just the covering. But Krishna, the personality, that is personal, and his covering or his effulgence is the impersonal. So for us, we are not this body, that is impersonal, Prabhupada said, and the soul is a person or personal. So what are we going to be interested in? Basically, we're interested in the person, right? Like if someone told you that you shouldn't really care about, the bird in the cage, just polish the cage and don't worry about the bird. But we know from that example that you can be polishing the cage, not taking care of the bird, and the bird dies. So what's the good of polishing the cage? Because the bird died. So we need to take care of the person, right? So this personal aspect of bhakti yoga, this process of bhakti yoga, is personal, and it will help us to achieve the desired result. Why should we take time, a valuable time in human form of life, trying to execute a process that won't give us the desired result? It does make sense, right? It becomes actually a waste of time. So that's why Krishna's been explaining to Arjuna how not to waste his human form of life, how not to engage in a process that won't bring the desired result. And therefore, you see, as Prabhupada said, practically every chapter, the conclusion has been that one should be attached to the personal form of Krishna, for that's the highest spiritual realization. So now we're hearing what we're supposed to be attached to. Krishna's form, anything that has to do with Krishna, especially in this age, is name. So if we know what to be attached to, then that will help us to become detached from the material. So if we feel like we're having a little bit of a struggle with attachments to other things, then we just have to develop more of an attachment to Krishna in his form. And that will free us gradually from any kind of impersonal contamination and from material attachments, which cause a lot of suffering. So, Prabhupada explains that there's those who are not attached to the personal form of Krishna, right? They're not actually attached. What are they attached to? They are interested in the impersonal Brahmajyoti, the effulgence of Krishna. And sometimes Bhagavad Gita is explained as Krishna is impersonal. But this, we know, is not a fact, right? Just like you know that you are not your clothes. And then even more than that, you know you're not the body, but you're the person within. You're the eternal person. So with knowledge, you're not going to be fooled. Someone comes to you and says, you are your clothes, You are your body. You're not fooled. You know. You are the person within. So if someone comes to you and claims that the Bhagavad Gita is explaining that Krishna is, you know, not a person, you're not a person, then you know. This is not a fact. So, just because some prefer to meditate on the impersonal form of the Absolute, that doesn't mean that that is the ultimate in understanding, right? So, factually, Prabhupada explains, there's the two classes of transcendentalists. And Krishna is going to help Arjuna to settle the question of which process is easier, to worship the impersonal or to be engaged in devotional service. He's going to settle that question. And so he's going to clarify Arjuna's position, because Arjuna wants to be attached to Krishna, his form, as Govinda. So Arjuna also wants to clarify that his position of attachment to Krishna in his two-armed form, in his personal form, is actually the best process. So this is being clarified here. And Krishna is showing that Arjuna is not attached to the impersonal form. So this should help us, because in this world, impersonalism is all over the place. And it's contaminating. And it invades the consciousness. And it helps us to even not even understand who we are, right? This so-called impersonalist philosophy presented sometimes in the Gita, it's helping us, if we take shelter of such impersonal philosophy, it helps us to become attached to material life, because only by attachment to Krishna and his personal form can we become completely free from this material attachment. So you have to be attached one way or another to something. So become attached to devotional service, chanting, hearing and chanting, etc. And in that way, we can become freed from all tinges of impersonalism, which means becoming freed from all miseries of life. So Prabhupada's concluding in the purport here. He says, actually, one cannot perfectly conceive of the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth. He says, therefore, Arjuna wants to say, what is the use of such a waste of time? Right? Why waste time? So we don't have very much time in this life, so why should we waste it, right? We should see that the important question is asked by Arjuna to clarify the, you know, distinction between impersonal and personal conceptions of the Absolute Truth. And Krishna's clarifying it in this chapter, and that should help us to clear our mind of any misconceptions and clear our way on the path back home, back to Godhead. So I'm going to stop here, and maybe there might be questions. If not, we'll just kind of wrap it up by, yeah.
What's your realization in regards to how a lot of times you hear about the advanced devotee, they see personality and everything. Sometimes it's compared to that native traditions. They see personality in other objects. So, like you earlier were saying, the soul, this personality, the body is the person. Just like, you know, Bishop Prabhupada, please remove that covering so that I can see your beautiful face. So how does the devotee, how is it that, what is that realization that we see personality in all the inanimate objects?
So how does the advanced transcendentalists see the personal aspect of everything? you can see that everything is part and parcel, or not separate from Krishna, right? His energies, everything is coming from Krishna. He's the source of everything, cause of all causes. Nothing separate from Krishna. And he himself has expanded as a super soul within every atom. Just like Prabhupada would say, you say you're sitting on the floor, and I say I'm sitting on Krishna. In other words, Krishna is everywhere. He's all pervading, you know, Vasudeva. So in that sense, the pure devotees, they see the super soul is everywhere. There's nothing separate from Krishna. Krishna's personality to them is their whole, you know, manifest consciousness. Krishna's form, Krishna's service, everything is manifested all the time in their consciousness. So they're always conscious of Krishna in that personal way. So that's why Prabhupada's saying, you know, you're seeing a tree, but the pure devotee is seeing not only that form of the tree, but also seeing Krishna. Because that is their consciousness, nothing separate from the Lord. And because they're personalists, of course, they see Krishna everywhere. If you're fully conscious of Krishna, then your Ishtadev, your beloved, worshipful Lord, will be always manifested in your heart, and you will always be seeing that beloved form. Just like they say sometimes, if someone is constantly thinking of a person, then it seems like everything reminds them of that person. Or say, like the mother sees the shoes of the child and remembers the child. She sees the shoes, she doesn't so much think about just the shoes, but she's thinking about the child, and in her heart she's seeing and contemplating the child, the person, right? Personality. So that's how it is with the advanced devotees. They see like that. You know, if you're in love with a personality, like the pure devotees are in love with the Lord, then you see the Lord everywhere. Because someone who has that intense love, they cannot but think of and remember and glorify and see the beloved. So that is there. Always, that is their state of heart, their state of consciousness. So like Prabhupada would always say, you know, I'm always with my spiritual master, or there was never a time that I did not remember Krishna, or I'm always in Vrindavan. So because Prabhupada is always serving with pure devotion, his heart, his consciousness is always personal. So everything is a reminder of that personality. Do you have anything you'd like to say about that, Prabhu? Thank you. Okay, so we'll stop here. All glories to Bhagavad Gita as it is, and all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jai. Oh, wow. Thank you, yeah, thank you very much.